2 Corinthians 6, I want to focus on verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He's quoting from Isaiah 52, which is about the exiles who are in Babylon. They were told to leave Babylon. In fact, other Old Testament passages tell them to flee from Babylon. And they were to touch no unclean thing. They were to not take the idols of Babylon with them on their journey to the restored kingdom in Judah. And he's lamented in verse 16 here, in the context here, that what agreement has the temple of God with idols? The problem was that in Corinth they were believing in God and yet worshipping idols. And so he's saying, no, look, you've got to be like the Jews who were asked to quit Babylon. The tragedy is that God had set up the potential for a wonderfully restored kingdom of God there in Judah at the end of the 70 years, and the people had to return to their God, and they could then return to the land. And the Hebrew word for repent is the same word for return. But this just didn't happen. The vast majority of them preferred the soft life in Babylon and Persia, and they didn't come out and be separate. The sad message, I think, or impression of the Book of Esther is that actually the Jews were very, very assimilated into Persia. You take Esther, she was drinking the queen's, drinking the king's wine, she was eating the king's food, even preparing it. Big contrast with Daniel when he first arrived in Babylon. She had totally hidden who she was as a Jewess, and it was only in the time of crisis that she sort of says to the king, you know, like, I'm Jewish, right? Well, he didn't know that, apparently, and neither did Haman, it seems. So her name, which means star, yeah, this is an allusion to Marduk, the star god. Mordecai is a form of Marduk. And so the Jews are very assimilated, and they were very wealthy. That's why Haman says, look, let me just kill all the Jews, and we can expropriate their property. This will be a fantastic amount of wealth into the king's treasurers. So they were not sitting by the rivers of Babylon weeping as they remembered Zion. They got on and assimilated. They built houses for themselves, as they were in fact told to do, and they were accepted in society. And this is how, in my opinion, the Book of Esther ends on a sad note, that the Jews were accepted in society. They had not allowed themselves to be provoked by the business with Haman to return. And yet they are told to come out. And again, in Revelation 18, these words are quoted. To flee Babylon, to get out of it. And of course they would have said, well, why? And the false prophets in Haggai's time said, no, this is not the time for the Lord's house to be rebuilt. And I wonder why they gave that false prophecy. Well, it was because life in Babylon was, or Persia, was a lot easier. And so God encouraged them, though, and so that Cyrus makes this decree and says, Jews, you can go to your land and you can rebuild your temple, and I'll sponsor you, I'll give you all the resources that you need, go and do it. But most of them didn't want to go, and the few who did go back, as we know from Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah, they were very weak spiritually. They had their own agenda. They wanted to just have their own panelled houses, which they built whilst the house of God was left in ruins. So all this becomes true or relevant to us because he says, go out from Babylon. This is what Paul is saying. Look, leave Babylon, touch no unclean thing, don't take the idols with you. And yet it seems that there was a problem with idolatry, that the Jews were worshipping idols. And you see that really in the implication of a number of the criticisms of them in Zechariah particularly, that there was idolatry going on amongst them. Just as Ezekiel 20 says that when they left Egypt, they took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea. And Amos 5 laments that they carried the tabernacle of Moloch as well as the tabernacle of Yahweh through the wilderness. They carried the star of their god Remphan, just as much as they carried the poles upon which were the standards of the tribes of Israel, which were a reflection of the cherubim, of the four faces of the cherubim. And so they mixed the two. And their exodus from Egypt and a wilderness journey to the Promised Land was, of course, to be repeated by leaving Babylon and going through the desert to restore God's kingdom. But they messed up and they failed. And Paul is seeing in the Corinthians something similar, because they also have made agreement, as he says, verse 15, with Belial. They have connection with unbelievers. But he says, what fellowship has light got with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Learn from history. You know, the exiles who returned, Ezra's time, Nehemiah's time, they intermarry with the unbelievers around them. And God's temple is not built as intended at all. So he quotes this and says, look, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you. If we make that move, then God will confirm us by his Spirit, because we're told that God did stir up the spirits of men to allow this to happen. He touched the heart of Cyrus to make this decree, we're told. So God was prepared to do that for them, the Corinthians, as he is for us, to work through circumstance, to work in the world around us, to work through his Spirit deeply inside our hearts, so that we will come out and be separate, so that we will find all the resources necessary to restore God's kingdom, to get on with the work of God's kingdom. Resources will never ultimately be a problem if we are purely and totally motivated. And yet, these people in Corinth had been baptized, and yet Paul has to appeal to them, look, come on, come out. Come out from the world. Come out from your society. Touch no unclean thing. Quit your idols, because a lot of them were there as Christians and yet still believing in the idols. As we see from his whole reasoning in 1 Corinthians 8, he's lamenting there how they did have people within the church who did believe and were what he calls believers, and yet they also believed that the idols were for real and were strongly tempted to worship them. And that's why he's saying here, look, the temple of God has no agreement with idols. You've got to make this decision. Although he is very tolerant of them and acceptant of them, yet he sees this problem. And so the call, therefore, is to us. Clearly, he takes the situation of the Jews in exile in Babylon and says, look, this is all of us. We, in the Christian dispensation, are to leave Babylon and to devote ourselves to the work of God's kingdom. And yet, the Corinthians had signed up to this and had been baptized, but that's a bit like the Jews who left Babylon and went back to restore the kingdom, ostensibly, when actually they just had their own agenda. As I say, their dream was the capitalist dream, to have fields, their own land, producing good crops, good harvests, as they hoped for the rest of their lives, and a nice house, panelled house that they owned. This is why in Haggai God says, no, I'm going to send a drought. You're not going to have good harvests. And look, my house lies waste, whereas you live in your panelled houses with the latest cosmetic panelling, which was the rage at the time. So, unfortunately, they had their own agendas. He said, you looked for much. You hoped for good harvests, but in reality, I made it come to very little. You, as it were, earned wages and put the money in pockets that had holes in. And as I say, they did return, but not in their hearts. And so it clearly, you know, he sees a similarity with the Corinthians, that they had been baptized, but it was all their own agenda. and he's appealing for them even after their baptism to see what had happened. And this can be so relevant to us. And to leave Babylon, to touch no unclean thing, and to devote themselves completely to the things of God's kingdom.